Again, thanks to the Maggots for hosting. Really appreciate it. It's very nice. And thanks everyone for coming, anyone coming new, and anyone who was here last week. The two shiurim last week and this week actually have nothing to do with each other, except for the fact that they have to do with tefillah and have to do with connecting to the day. That being said, just a basic chazara, basic going over what we talked about last week, because at some point we'll tie in just the basic premise, but not so much the halachos, but the basic idea. So last week we really talked about the baseline obligations that everyone has when it comes to davening, and really how sometimes we can look at these basic obligations of the tefillah and say it's just so much. So if there's so much of an obligation and so many things I have to say, so then I'm not actually going to be able to get to say them. So either there's the stress of I have so much to say and I can't, or there's the guilt that anyway I'm not doing it. So between that balance, we came out that when it comes to anyone involved in interpersonal obligations, taking care of family, raising a family, so really the baseline obligation is a tefillah katara, right? The Shulchan Aruch had brought down that it's one tefillah, one amidah a day, but we brought down from the Magen Avraham and others that really it comes down to a tefillah katara, which is made up of sheva, hoda, ubakasha, which essentially is praise, thanks, and a request. And that can basically be fulfilled by, in a person's own words, they could create a tefillah that way in the morning. Alternatively, and perhaps the best way possible, would be to start off the day with Birchas HaShachar, with starting off the day with the morning blessings, because within the formulation of those blessings is all three of those aspects. And so that's the best way to be able to start off, and really to pull out what we really ended off last time, is this beautiful idea that every single part of davening that we're involved with is slowly another string attaching us to Hashem during the day. And really what comes out is that throughout the day I can talk to Hashem, and it doesn't even have to be in a formal setting of brachos or the like. Again, the baseline obligation is the initial start to the day, or at some point in the day this tefillah katara, this shortened prayer. But either way, throughout the day, just talking to Hashem in our own language, in our own words and the like, is slowly a strand building up to a rope that by the end of the day, by the end of the week, by the end of a month, so I feel much more connected, tied to Hashem, which is the language of tefillah, related, as we saw some of the Chassidish Sfarim say, that related to the name Naftali, which is the idea to bind or to bring together. And so that was just something we brought out from last time. So, yes.
Doesn't Asher Yatzer cover all three of those?
Yes, Asher Yatzer would likely cover all of those. Birchas HaTorah would likely cover all of those. But the best Eitzah, one of the best ways, is start at the beginning of the Brachos and go to the end, and covering all those. And it takes a few minutes, but again, it's a beautiful way to be able to start the day. And we talked about doing that before davening, just before we actually begin this week's topic. There were a few questions last week that I just wanted to quickly go over. One is that, so someone had a very interesting idea. So if I have to say three things, Sheva Choda Ubakasha, right, praise, thanks, and a request, and I also want to be able to eat, so could I say Moda'ani, and I'll have a request, and then I'll say a bracha over the food. And by doing all three of those together, I'll come out with my three aspects of tefillah. So yes, technically it could work. But I do think when Chazal they had in mind this corpus, this idea of tefillah, of davening, so they meant it more of one cohesive prayer as opposed to just piecemeal. So I think, again, ideally to be able to pull out from the brachos, to be able to say, either Birchas HaTorah or Birchas HaShachar, to say those together would definitely be the ideal. So that's just one thing that came up last week. I don't remember a few of the other questions. If I remember, we'll talk about them at the end. But that's not the primary focus of this year. The primary focus of this year is to talk about Purim and really connecting to the nature of the day, and then really using that to connect to every single day, to be able to find a way to be able to connect to Hashem. And the reason why I've been thinking about this a lot is Purim is a crazy day. Right? It's one of the craziest days of the year. Now, why? Well, besides for the fact that we're running around trying to give out shalosh manos to this and that, so we have the mitzvos of the day. Everyone has to hear Megillah, and hopefully you have to hear Megillah with someone not tugging, trying to distract you. Hopefully you can actually hear Megillah. But then there's the shalosh manos, there's the suda, there's the drink. There's just so much going on that it's so easy to go into a Purim and then come out on the other end, not having connected to it, right? That we're just so involved. It's like playing Jewish geography with someone. You come to meet someone, And what do you do? Oh, you know this person, I know that person, you go through. So I always think, Jewish geography means you get to know everything around and around the person, but nothing about them themselves. So sometimes I feel like you go into Purim, you go into a Yontif, and there's just so much going on, so you can come out the other end not having gotten to know the Yontif itself, not having pulled it into your life to be able to actually walk away with something. So that's really, so to say, a danger or something we have to be aware of when it comes to Purim. So what is Purim? Like, what is there to be able to connect to? So if you think about Purim, really it's the last Yontif of the entire year. Right, meaning if Nisan, according to the Gemara, is the beginning of a year, right? Of course, there's Rosh Hashanah, that's one beginning of the year, but Pesach is another beginning of the year, Nisan, if we count from Nisan. So really, if you think about it, Purim is the pinnacle of the year. Purim is the last Yontif, we'll call it a Yontif for these purposes, the last Yontif of the year. You go through Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, you keep going, and finally we get to Purim. So what is it about Purim that it's at the end of the year? And we're also told that Purim is like Yom Kippur. Something about Purim is really, really high. Something really, really spiritual about Purim. And so much so that when Mashiach comes, so the one holiday that we're still going to observe is Purim. So what about Purim is such Tisha B'Av? Yeah, but Tisha B'Av will be turned. It's currently not a Yontif. Right. It's currently not a Yontif. But as far as the Yontifs that we have, that is what's going to remain. So what about Purim is so special that one, it's the pinnacle that ends the year, and that something about it is immutable, it's not going to change, is always there, right? There's something special about it. So I saw this beautiful Rav Pinkas. Rav Pinkas is one of those Sfarim that he kind of just takes up a whole shelf, right? All the Sfarim, right? It just takes up a whole shelf in our room. He just has such beautiful formulations. So he says it like this. He says in Source 1, Inyan nosaf bo nisyached porim mishara moedim, hu b'mahus hamoed v'azman. Something is very unique and special about Purim from all the other holidays. Something very, very unique about it, both in itself and the timing. Yadua shekol ha-moedim benuyim kedugmas sulam habanui madrega achar madrega. The nature of the holidays is that they build on each other, right? There's a rung. You go throughout the year and you climb one rung at a time. And we don't skip rungs. There's some growth process that we go through each and every single yontif, each and every single part of the year, and we keep going up. Ad shemegiim lepiska shehi be'etzem hatachlis. And when you're going up a ladder, the whole point is to get to that final rung, the final place, the purpose, where you're going, right? So if Purim is at the end, if Purim is at the total end of the year, it means that we're climbing all the other yontifs to be able to get to the top. Right? So we go through, he describes, we go through Pesach, we leave Egypt. And then we go through Shavuos and we get the Torah. And then we go through Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah and everything in between, right? And then, of course, Sukkot. And finally, we round out the year, we come back to Purim and we get there. So there's something about it being on the top that seems to be the purpose of everything. And he says at the end, it can also be viewed in a certain sense of a tachlis shel kol hazmanim. Who Yom HaPurim? The whole purpose of everything is to get to Purim. Shua Moed Hatishii V'Hacharom B'Ma'agal Hashanah. It's the end of the year. Shula Acharab Yagia HaMoed HaSiri Huzman B'Yesa Mashiach Shulamala Mikol HaSagol Shalanu. And again, that will lead us eventually into the days of Mashiach. And as we said, when Mashiach comes, it's going to be the one holiday, the purpose, the highest holiday of all that's going to remain. Nimsanu L'Meidim Shukol HaMoedos Hinam Kitachanot. B'derech el ha-tachlis. So what that means is every single holiday on the way is not just a rung, it's a stop. It's like a bus stop all on my way to finally get to Purim. So what about Purim am I trying to get to? Right? So I think this relates to Ramban, Alatara, and we're going to see two parts of the Ramban. We're going to start off with the Ramban, and then we'll circle back to the Ramban. So the Ramban talks about this idea of being able to have, being able to learn from one thing to the other. And it's not just that we're taking from all the yontifs, it's not just that we're taking from all the holidays and we're slowly building on each and every single one to finally get to Purim. But there's something deeper about Purim, something deeper about the other holidays that we're building on, right? Now, by the way, what's very special about Purim, if you think about it, so Purim not only is it at the end of the year, and it has all these different mitzvos in it, but unlike all the other holidays, it's b'chol, it's during the week, right? All the other holidays, in a certain sense, have their kedusha, have their separate time that you take care of it. You have a yontif, right? We're calling Purim a yontif. But for all intents and purposes, it's not a time where it's like Shabbos or Yom Tov where I can't do any work, right? So that makes it even harder, right? Because there's just so much more going on. Shabbos comes and that's it. All your work is done, right? The song, all your work is done. That's it, done. And so it's a time to be able to kind of lay back. I mean, I don't know how many of us are laying back right away, right? But it's a time to be able to lay back and actually, you know, enjoy the day, so to say. And the same thing with Yom Tov, right? Pesach is crazy. You're getting ready for Pesach, going, right? And then Pesach hits, and how much more can you do? Okay, I know you can do more, but as far as cleaning and the like, it's done, right? And yet, Purim is not like that. And also, when you think about Purim, so Purim, everything really has to be fit in during the day, right? So you may say Chanukah is also during the week. But Chanukah, the main mitzvah, is at night. So the night is a little calmer than the day, perhaps. Okay, it depends on the family, it depends on the kids, fine. But that being said, it's quieter, so to say. And yet Purim, you're trying to pack in three mitzvos during the weekday, during the day. It's a crazy day. So something about all the other holidays can lead up to that day. So if you look in source 2, the Ramban says like this. This is a famous Ramban when it comes to learning the nature of miracles in this world. That when it comes to all the holidays, when it comes to Yetzias Mitzrayim, when it came to Hashem taking us out of Mitzrayim, and Him punishing Paro, Him giving all the makos, Him giving everything, all the punishments that He could bring on Mitzrayim. So the whole point of these miracles was that they should know, Paro and all of Mitzrayim should know that I am Hashem. I exist in this world. Laharos al hashgacha ki lo azav osa lemikrim kedatam. That realize that I haven't abandoned you. Hashem says, don't think it's like the clockwork theory. Don't think I'm just this man on high kivyachol and I created everything and I stand back. No, I'm intimately involved in the world. And that was what he was trying to tell Mitzrayim. He was trying to tell everyone in Egypt, I am intimately involved in this world and don't you think otherwise. Now the truth is, unfortunately, fortunately, whatever we'll say, Hashem doesn't orchestrate these crazy, outlandish miracles in our times usually, right? It's not in every single generation that Hashem comes along and says, I'm splitting the sea. And it's not in every single generation that Hashem says, I'm bringing 10 makos, right? That doesn't happen. And yet, Hashem still wants it and wants us to be cognizant and aware that He runs the world. So how does He do that? So that means that we always have to be reminding ourselves and we have to set reminders in the calendar and we have to set reminders in what we do to be able to remember those times where Hashem did do these overt, crazy miracles. And that's what's passed down throughout generations. Right? That's the whole point of the Seder. It's the whole point of so many of the mitzvos that we do. They have to do with preserving the memory, and not just the memory, but the occasion, and to be able to live it in a certain sense of those miracles that happened and pass it down to each generation. Kemosha Amru, MS V'yatsiv, Deoraisa, Mimashikasuv, Laman Tizkaras Yom Seitzcham, Eretz Mitzrayim, Kol Yimechayecha. And so that's why every day we have to remember that we left Egypt. And of course we have the Seder, and we have so many other mitzvos that remind us, that tell us to remember that Hashem is here in this world. Ushanasa Sukkah B'Kol Shana, and Sukkis. Sukkis, what are we trying to recall? Sukkis, we're trying to recall the miracles that Hashem did in the desert for us, that He made the Anan Yaakovah, that He orchestrated the world in a way that was totally abnormal, that protected us. And of course, if we go through each and every holiday, there's something abnormal that Hashem did in this world. When it comes to Matan Torah, when Hashem gave us the Torah, nothing about us accepting the Torah was normal. Nothing was normal about that. Everything was through a miracle. So every single holiday that we have leading up to Purim is a full out overt miracle, right? And by the way, you could even argue Hanukkah. Yes, Hanukkah had the hidden miracle of us winning the war. But again, the main miracle, one could argue which one, but the miracle of the oil was nothing natural, right? Very overt, very, very, very unnatural. So every single holiday leading up to Purim is this Nes Nigla, is something outlandish, something out there that we recognize. Hashem is running the world. Hashem is doing what He can do. Hashem does what He can do and whatever He wants in this world. And it becomes very apparent. You can't stand there and say, well, there's no God at this point. I mean, a person could. Paro did. Hashem had a heart in his heart to be able to say such things. But ultimately, the point was to be able to show that Hashem's in this world. Now, from those overt revealed miracles, the nisim niglos. So says the Ramban, umina nisim hagdolem hamifursamim, adam mode benisim anistarim. So you know the amazing part about these overt miracles? The whole point of them is not that these miracles should always exist and they should always last. That's not the purpose. Hashem doesn't want to totally upend nature. Hashem wants to be able to show us these overt, these crazy miracles in this world, and for us to remember them, for us to think about them, and then let that transfer into our lives to be able to recognize the hidden miracles that Hashem runs every single second. To be able to see Hashem in the nature. Shem Yisod HaTorah Kula, that the whole purpose, the main foundation of the entire Torah, of our entire experience, is that of hidden miracles in our lives. The very fact that we live breathing, the very fact that we have our lives is a hidden miracle. Everything that we look at in our life is a hidden miracle, right? We just don't see it because it's all clothed in nature. And of course, there's those crazier moments like on Purim that we see the hidden miracles that hindsight's 20/20. You can look back and you see how every little detail is orchestrated. But again, it's hidden. It's all b'teva. It's all within nature and clothed in a way that it's not right in front of me, that I don't just jump back and say, wow, Hashem is running the world. And again, the whole purpose is to be able to arrive at this point that I can see Hashem, in the nature. So, what that means then, that Purim is the pinnacle, that every single holiday celebrates an overt miracle, celebrates a miracle that was very clear, that upended nature. And each one of those is trying to teach us, okay, can you see Hashem in nature yet? Can you see Hashem in your life yet? The silent miracles, the hidden miracles. So each yontif that we go through, that's the next question. Okay, now you saw these overt miracles. Now you're remembering these big miracles. And the next question when we get to daily life is, okay, but did that transfer, did that translate into seeing hidden miracles in our lives? So come Purim, by the end of the year, everything about Purim is hidden, right? Megillas Esther is called Megillas Esther because to be a megala, that which is seser, that which is hidden, to reveal that which is hidden. And so everything until now was leading up into that. So we get to Purim, the pinnacle of the year, because it's the pinnacle, because all the overt miracles were leading to this point that can you find me in nature? Can you find me in your life, right? And it doesn't just stop there, I think, because then the whole purpose is that translate into our daily life. Again, if Purim is the busiest day of the year, so that translates very well into busy, crazy lives, right? So, okay, so every single day we don't have the three mitzvos, the mitzvos hayom, of what we're running around trying to do shalach manos, but there's a lot else going on in every single day life. And so that translates very well in the sense that whatever we're trying to see on Purim, whatever we're trying to get out of Purim, should be able to be that same message that Hashem's telling us after every single remembrance, after every single miracle, after every single yontif. So put that into real life. Let's have that relationship in real life in our daily life. Yes.
The way you're framing it, or the way the Ramban's framing it, makes me think how awesome it would be if there were a lot of Purims. Like, then we would, because then I have nothing more to say beyond just, it would be so cool to have a lot of Nisim, Nistarim, and then it really sinks in much more easily. Oh my gosh, like, there's so many times throughout history that we're celebrating that Hashem was actually, like, working behind the scenes, and then, like, it helps me in my everyday think, okay, Hashem's working behind the scenes.
Right.
I don't know, I'm just...
Yeah, no, so what you're saying is very true, but meaning... So that might not be put into a holiday that we see, you know, throughout the year.
Right.
But what that does, we're supposed to train ourselves to be able to see that. And by the way, if you just look into history, every day in life, but you can look at a grander scale.
Like Yom HaTzmaut, but I'm a little bit hanzel from in that way. You know what I'm saying?
No, but so I was about to say the Six-Day War. A person can look back at the Six-Day War and reflect on that and be amazed. And just, I mean, you could say that was nature. You can't, because a person who is trained to see God in our lives, a nation who is trained to see Hashem in everyday life, all of a sudden you take a step back. You're like, there's no way that's Hashem, right? So again, would it be very nice for Hashem very often to say, I'm going to be Megala Sod in your life. I'm going to reveal things. I'm going to show you things. Open up your eyes. So you'll have Purim 1, Purim 2, Purim 3, Purim 4. That'd be great, right? But the purpose of Purim is to be able to take that, right? To be able to take that. To reveal that which is hidden. So the secret or hidden. So basically, when we reach Purim, that's the goal, to be able to see deeper. Now, the problem is there's just so many distractions like we were talking about. Everything about Purim is a distraction, right? Everything about Purim is there to distract us, so to say, from getting deeper, from being able to pull out that inner connection. And we talked about last week the inner connection of davening, the inner connection that our neshama is always crying out to be able to talk to Hashem. There's something within me that no matter how susim, no matter how closed or disconnected I might feel, there's not a complete disconnect, because my neshama, my soul is always crying out to be able to connect. So we're just trying to get down deep. We're trying to access that. Now, everything about Purim wants to distract us. By the way, it's not just everything about Purim. Everything about Haman wants to distract us. So there's this beautiful pasuk. When I saw, I was amazed. The pasuk says in source 3, Ki Haman ben Hamdasa ha'agagi tzorer kol ha'yudim chashav al ha'yudim la'abdam v'yipil por hu agoral l'humam la'abdam. So basically, Haman, our enemy, wanted to destroy us. And so therefore he threw a lot, luhumam ulabdan, to confound us, or to confound them and to destroy them.
Just confound me.
Confound, yeah. By the way, I was trying to find a good translation for luhumam. So confound, confuse, yeah. To be mibalbel, to overwhelm. Yes, okay. Perfect words. Actually, those are perfect synonyms. Thank you. You should know that any email you get is basically my wife, you know, checking all my wording. So this is, it's very helpful. Thank you. Okay, well, don't worry. She doesn't see all my emails. But for the record. So this pasuk is outstanding, because the pasuk says that he wants to destroy us. Then it says he throws a lot in order to confound, confuse, overwhelm us, and to destroy us. Very repetitive, but what's l'humam? What does it mean to confound us, to confuse us? So I saw Rav Biederman, and I saw a few other commentaries say, it's just beautiful, that Haman knew that if we had our wits about us, that if we had our mind, if we had our wherewithal to be able to daven, the focus to be able to sit at a situation looking and to say, oh my gosh, what's happening to us? We have to daven. We have to discuss this with Hashem. We have to figure out what we can do to be able to better the situation. He knew he stood no chance. So he wanted to confound us. He wanted to confuse us. He wanted to get us afraid. And in a situation of fear where we were just so confused, so disconnected, so overwhelmed, that we wouldn't daven. And that we wouldn't sit there thinking, well, what can we do to fix the situation? And then, l'abdam, then he knew he would have a chance to be able to destroy us. So everything about Haman is to distract us. Everything about Purim, you can imagine, because again, anyone who reads the Megillah, the Halacha says, l'mafreya, did not fulfill their obligation. L'mafreya means to read it out of order. But what it also means is anyone who reads the Megillah, l'mafreya, as in, you know, old, anyone who reads the Megillah is thinking, what was, this doesn't apply to my life. They haven't fulfilled the mitzvah. Because when I read the Megillah, it's supposed to apply to my life. It's Hashem's letter to us. It's Hashem's love letter. And so everything about it is a message to each and every single one of us in our lives. So if Mordechai is trying to tell us something, and Esther is trying to tell us something, Haman's also trying to do something. And every single Purim, Haman, so to say, or whatever the Satan Haman stands for, is trying to distract us from getting deeper. L'humam, to overwhelm us with whatever is going on during the day. By the way, it's just a cute idea. Haman harasha, right? Evil Haman. Ra'ash, noise. Ra'ash is the same word, the same letter switched around of Russia. So it's everything about Haman is to make a lot of noise, Bilbo. All right, that's why we...
Is it Amalek, right?
Yes.
Disturbing us, right?
Yes, Amalek, right? Yeah. Exactly. Yitzhari tries to disturb us, which is, he's trying to disturb us from hearing the Megillah, from hearing the message of whatever we're supposed to hear that day, which, by the way, again, this is a cute idea. If you like gematria, is great. If not, so we'll move on. But Purim is the gematria of 336, which is the gematria of Bekol Demama Daka, which is Hashem is found in that small little sound. In that small little sound, that small little cry, that's where a person finds Hashem on Purim. Not in all the noise, the bilbo, the craze, the overwhelming, the everything else going on. A person can find Hashem in life. A person can find Hashem on Purim in those small moments of focus and quiet, if they can find it, right? And Haman's just trying to distract us with the rash, with all that noise of Purim, all the noise of daily life. He's trying to distract us from connecting to ourselves, connecting to Hashem. Yes.
I thought it was to try to divide and disunify us, and that was why, yes, Esther gathered everyone together, which was to,
yes, of course, us. That's also true, right? He called us an am mifuzar, mifurad, that we're totally separate from Hashem, separate from each other. Yes, 100%. That's also an aspect, because if we're not unified, So then we also don't stand a chance. Those are many things. Haman knew how to really get to us. He knew exactly what he needed to do. Okay, so what that means is that that is Purim. Now, the truth is that's also regular life, right? It's just paint a picture of a day. At least the way I think about a day is I go to bed thinking, so there's so many things I have to do, so many things I didn't do. Okay, good. So I'll get up in the morning and we'll take care of it. So I have a little bit of a picture about what needs to happen that day. Or at least I imagine what I would like the day to look like. So I imagine I'll get up in the morning, everyone will be sleeping, it'll be really nice, I'll sit there with a coffee, I'll make a dishul, and I imagine your picture looks a little bit different than that, I understand. But there's a picture each and every single one of us have every single day. And usually what happens about minutes into the day, that picture is totally smashed to pieces. It no longer exists, whatever that means. Right, whatever that means for each and every single person, that picture of really what I would really like my day to look like, what I would like my connection to Hashem to look like, yeah, it's not there and it's not happening, right? That's the distraction, right? Luhumam, right? It's totally overwhelming and distracting. And the truth is a person might get up in the morning and they think, okay, so I'll daven today. I'll have some way I'm going to be able to connect, some way I'm going to be able to daven. With whatever, as we talked about last week, whatever the different ways a person fulfills the obligation in davening. So they say, oh, good. So I'll finally be able to daven today. Oh, maybe I'll daven a little bit more than I normally do, or whatever I'm going to daven. And then real life kicks in, and where the time go, I don't even know what to do, right? So that's the humam ul-abdam, right? The humam comes along every single day of our life. Life comes along and distracts, overwhelms. But that's the distraction. Because we have to be able to somehow see past that, be able to look at a day and to be able to say, there's something to be able to connect to here. There's some ability within this day for me to be able to connect to myself, connect to others, to be able to connect to Hashem and go deeper. You know, another aspect of Purim, of course, is if I recognize that Hashem's running the world, like what we said, right? We have all these big miracles going on, but Purim, it's very quiet, very silent. So once I learn from all the other miracles and all the other yontivs, and I get to Purim, the pinnacle of the year, And I'm realizing, oh, Hashem runs this world. Hashem runs this life. Hashem runs my day, right? As we said last week, Hashleicha Hashem Yehavcha, just I throw my burdens on Hashem because Hashem runs everything. So at that point, I can get to a place of davening because I realize that it's just Hashem. It's only Hashem. What? Who else can I ask, as we said, right? And that's the idea. The halacha is Kol Poshit Yad Nosim Lo. Anyone who extends their hand on Purim to ask for something, Hashem gives them. Because at that moment, when I realize that Hashem's running the world, Hashem's running every little aspect, and it's so hard to be able to see sometimes. It's so hard. But that's something we're trying to bring out from Purim. So then the answer is Kol Poshit Yad Nosim Lo. Who else am I going to ask? If I just extend my hand, that means because I recognize who to be able to ask. I recognize who to be able to talk to at that point, right? And again, everything about the day, everything about Purim, everything about life is just trying to distract me from that ultimate truth that Hashem's right there. Hashem's just waiting for us to be able to talk to Him. He's extending the conversation and, you know, waiting for us to be able to talk from the other direction. So if we can accomplish that on Purim, if we can sit there for a few minutes, whether it's during Megillah, whether it's somehow I can just find 2 to 5 minutes on Purim, of just quiet on my own without distraction, somehow. So that's great because that's a moment to be able to sit there and just think, okay, so it's only you, Hashem. It's only you. And there's so much going on in my life. There's a lot of stresses. There's a lot of things. But Hashem, I'm just trying to connect. I want to be able to connect. Now, a person might not be able to find 5 minutes, but the Megillah is also a beautiful opportunity for that because the Megillah, we have to be somewhat present. We're supposed to be listening to the words. And every single line there is applicable to our lives. To be able to find a line that speaks to you in the Megillah, to be able to see that line that just feels like it's calling out to you, to be able to find some line that you feel like is applicable to your life, right? To each and every single one of us, there must be some line there. And that's also another way to be able to connect to the day, to be able to say, so I know Hashem's trying to connect, showing, and I know that He runs this world, and that's the whole purpose of this. So let me be able to try to find that one connection, that one point of the day. So again, that's Purim, and that's also the rest of the year. There is a beautiful piece by Rav Nassan. Rav Nassan was Rabbi Nachman's main student, and often he takes Rabbi Nachman's teachings and he expounds on them and he just brings them to life. So he says in Source 4, it's unbelievable. This sounds like a regular day. He says in Source 4, The truth is from the Yetzer Hara, from Haman, from wherever these distractions are coming. Every single day has plenty of distractions and moments of being overwhelmed. So sometimes the day comes and it's just so crazy. I feel like I'm not accomplishing anything, or even if I am, it's just so overwhelming that I feel like this day doesn't count. Let me just go back to bed. This day doesn't count, okay? It cross it off the list. That's what it feels like. Kilo hayom hazeh yef shar lavod es Hashem yisparach. This day did not go. I couldn't serve Hashem today. I can't serve Hashem today. This is just not a good day, right? There's no such thing as not a good day, my wife always tells me. There's other things going on today, but the point is, the person feels like, this is not a good day. I'm crossing it off the list. It's just, it's shot. Ube emes, v'vadai kifi hishtatchus v'hispashtos hasitra achra v'aklipa shebchol yom v'yom. The truth is, there are many things against us, many distractions, many challenges, every single day, each and every single day, every hour. And it's true, it does make it hard to be able to connect to Hashem. It makes it hard for us to be able to find those moments of where I'll have that conversation with Hashem. It makes it very hard to find those moments to be able to feel like I have a good connection. And the truth is, especially when it comes to davening, I think I'll have 2 minutes today to daven, because I want to get down to that basic obligation to be able to have that relationship. And by the way, that's specifically where it becomes very hard, because everything in the world wants to stop us from connecting. Because again, Haman knows that that's where our power comes from. Our power comes from that connection. Aval tzrichin leida she'af al pichin zeh hayom hu yom ve'ola b'cheshbon. Realize this day isn't shot. This day is not a wash. Uvavad yesh bo tov. Every single day has something good within it. Every single day has a nekuda tova. Every single day has a good point. Rak she'achoshech mechasa alav. There's just things blocking it, things covering it, like a klipa kodem esapri, like a shell on a fruit, like a shell on anything.
A peel.
Thank you. A peel. A peel on a fruit. I'm out of the words. So that peel is blocking what looks and is so beautiful inside. So often we're just surrounding the peel. We're just going around the peel of the day, right? The shell of the day, the peel of the day. We're just circling, never getting to that nekuda tova, never getting to that good point of connection.
Nekuda tova?
Yes, nekuda tova, a good point. I mean, the beauty of the day. Utzrichen lihisgaber lihishtadel lishaber haklipa, shehen klal kolmenios velbubulim v'atayos v'hadchios, v'leda lahamin shedaika v'yom hazeh yachol yizkar v'Hashem yizbarach. To realize that with all this going on, this day is not a wash. There's some way for me to be able to connect to Hashem this day. V'im tidrashenu yimatzei lecha. And if you seek him out, so you'll find him. By the way, if you seek him out, he'll find you. V'tizge limso atov shebezeh hayom daika, ki leis yom deleis beitov. There's no such thing since the beginning of all time, since the beginning of creation, that does not have a good, that doesn't have something good in the day. There's no such thing as a bad day. I mean, there are bad days. There are hard days, there are challenging days, but in every single day is an opportunity to be able to connect ourselves to Hashem, to be able to find Hashem in that day, to be able to find Hashem in somehow in that hidden part of our day.
Could that be like a mitzvah, just like maybe smiling at someone who could have used a smile, or getting tzedakah, or...
100%. Really anything, whatever makes a person feel more connected to Hashem. Now, obviously, there's mitzvos that whether or not we feel good about it, that automatically is a connection. Savsa, right. Mitzvah comes from the language of connection, savsa in Aramaic. So any mitzvah that I do, whether I'm feeling invigorated and excited about it, is obviously a connection.
Right.
But then there's the other aspect of finding something within the day that I feel more connected. Sometimes it's literally just sitting, you know, in traffic, sitting there feeling overwhelmed, and the moment where I just look skyward and say, okay, new Hashem. And it's just a recognition that I get, you know, Hashem's running my life. And it's hard, it's challenging. I don't know what's flying, but there's that connection. And so what that means is on Purim, we're just trying to be megala the seser. We're trying to be megala that which is that which is hidden. And every single day has that opportunity, because Purim is the craziest day of the year. Every single day is crazy. But the whole calendar that we have, every holiday, is trying to train us to be able to get to that point where I can say, okay, so I'm going to try to look at this day and frame it in the sense of, so how can I connect? Or there's at some point during this day that I felt like, you know, there's some connection there. So I said, we'll circle back to the Ramban. So if you go back to the Ramban, there's really unbelievable, because the Ramban started off by talking about how the Nisim Niglos, that the revered miracles, help us see the hidden miracles, right? So he goes through and he talks about that. He talks about certain mitzvos. Later in the Ramban, he talks about tefillah. He talks about davening. And he says in source 5, Kavanas romamos hakol betfilos. Well, the whole purpose of davening, v'kavanas bate haknesios uzchos tefilas harabim. The whole purpose of davening, whether in shul, whether at home, and davening with other people, zehu shiye l'bnei adam makom yiskabsu v'yivdu l'keil shabaram. This is Seamus. V'yivdu l'keil shabaram v'himsiam. The whole purpose of prayer is to be able to get to a place where I admit to Hashem, I'm your creation. And what that also means is to admit to Hashem that you run the world. I am your creation. Everything that you do, you're recreating me every single moment. And everything that I experience, you are creating, you are doing, right? So the whole purpose of all these overt, these crazy miracles is to lead us to a place where I see the revealed miracles. And then that leads us to a place that within davening, I have that moment where I can admit, so Hashem, you're running the show. You're doing everything. And you help with everything. And I might have a challenging day. I might have a day which I would per se call a bad day, right? And if I misspoke before, I don't know if I said there's no such thing as a good day. What I meant, there's no such thing as a bad day, even if there is a bad day. But, right, that's not, inherently it's not. Because if I'm able to get to the crux of it, and you'll have that moment of clarity where I just admit, okay, it's challenging, but ultimately there's a way to be able to connect to you still, Hashem. So that's a nekuda tova, right? And again, that could be a mitzvah, that could be something that I felt meaningful, that connected me to myself, to other people, and to Hashem. Right, and that's going to be different for every single person here. So that's how the Ramban ties that. So much of this, when you come to Purim, each and every single one of us are going to come to Purim, and it's a crazy day, as we said. It really is crazy. But framing this to realize the purpose of Purim is to be able to look a little bit deeper, past the bilbo, past the rash, past all the noise and being overwhelmed, to be able to find that moment in the day where I feel like I can take that with me. There's something within the day that I feel like is going to help empower my relationship with Hashem, right? And that could be just a few moments of davening, of my davening in the morning of brachos, if I have a chance to say brachos, or even if I, on Purim, I had a chance. Now, if I don't have a chance to say an Amidah during the weekday, a regular day, I'm not sure what chance I have on Purim, but whatever chance a person has to be able to take those few minutes to be able to try to connect to that deeper part. And again, that's also the idea of brachos, what we said last week, that with every bracha I say, so it's another string connecting me to Hashem. With every prayer, just whether in my own words, whether an official type of prayer, that's another strand connecting me to Hashem. So I have multiple strands. I wove an entire tapestry that's holding me on, that's attaching me to Hashem. And so that's going to be different mitzvos on Purim. That's going to be different times with family or friends. It's going to be different moments or different psukim in the Megillah. Each and every single person is going to be different. But there's that nekuda tova, there's that good point within all the noise. And hopefully what that means is I come out on the other end of Purim feeling like I connected to something meaningful, right? By the way, that also takes looking at Purim beforehand, saying I have something in mind of what I want to be able to connect to, right? Or at least being cognizant of that going in. If we go in without thought, it's very hard to come out with something on the other end as well, but it's something to be able to give thought to. So, and again, that's Haman's trying to distract us, the rash, and we're just trying to hear that small noise. Be called the mamadaka. It's not anything big, anything crazy in life. It's just that small voice, that small somehow calling that Hashem calls to me on Purim, right through the Megillah. So I saw a very nice story, I believe by Rabbi Nachman Seltzer. It's a little bit long, so I'll be makatzer. I'll shorten the story a little to the important details. And the story is as follows, that there was a woman, I think Shani, that unfortunately, and she lived in Eretz Yisrael, unfortunately she and her family had some tragedy in the family, and it was very overwhelming, and she unfortunately couldn't process it well. And eventually, there came a time where she felt like she needed to get out. So like what happens to many people, unfortunately, when they don't have their, they're not getting the proper help or the like, so they look elsewhere. And so she started looking into India and Buddhism and the like. And again, she was a frum girl. She was a frum woman. And she decided, you know, this is it. I have to go to India. I have to find myself there. I have to find meaning and connection in India, right, by the monks. And she, at some point, she admitted this to her father. And because her father, I think, was driving her to the airport, and he said, why do you have to go to India? And she said, because I'm trying to search for something. And I have to admit that the truth is, I might look for him, I might look religious, I might look like I'm connecting, but inside, there's nothing. So I have to look for something. And her father said, you can't go. What we raised you better. We raised you to connect to Yiddishkeit, to connect to Hashem. So you can't go there. And she said, but Father, I have to go. You know, please forgive me. And he turned to her and he says, I cannot forgive you if you go. If you get out of this car and abandon everything we raised you with, and you go there trying to search for something else, I can't. I can't forgive you. I can't let that go. And with that, she left the car and she went to India. So again, this must have been before the times of cell phones or the like, where a person was immediately and easily in touch. But she was there for 3 years, and she found herself, she felt, in the mountains, in the villages, in the different places. And all of a sudden, 3 years later, she ran into an old friend who was visiting India just on a trip. And she turned to her friend and they were talking. And her friend said, you know, I'm so sorry for your loss. And she turned to her friend and said, what do you mean? She said, your father passed away a little while ago, however long ago. And this girl was heartbroken, because the last interaction she had with her father was, I can never forgive you. And she knew what she did to her father. She broke her father. And she was so torn. She was so broken, so hurt. She said, I have to go back to Eretz Yisrael. I have to go. Something broke in her. And she realized she needed to go daven. She needed to go all the way back to Eretz Yisrael. She needed something. So she went all the way back to Eretz Yisrael. She made her way to the Kotel. And she just started breaking down. And somehow someone behind her, the story goes, you know, nudged her, you know, if you're so broke, you know, maybe write a letter. Right? There's always those people at the Kotel suggest something very nice. And she said, okay, so she'll write a letter. And she wrote to her father, you know, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry I left you. I love you. I wish I could have a conversation with you. I wish we could talk again. I'm so sorry. I wish you could forgive me, because I'm so sorry for what I did. And she kept trying to push the letter into the wall, and it kept falling out. If anyone's ever had the experience at the Kotel trying to put a letter in the wall, it's just, you know, you've got to reach high, reach low. There's always that place that it fits, but it takes sometimes a few tries. She put it in. It's as if the wall was rejecting. It fell out. She put it in again. It fell out. So finally, she made her way to kind of where the mechitza meets between the men and the women's section. And Rav Nachman Seltzer describes that she tried to push it in there, and she pushed it in. But again, sometimes you push yours in and it falls out. But other times you push yours in and someone else's falls out. And it fell out and it slightly opened. And she couldn't help but pull it open to read it. And it was a letter that her father had wrote. It was a letter that her father had wrote at the time that when she left, saying, I'm so sorry, Rabbona Shalom, please tell my daughter. I forgive her. I don't mean what I said, and I wish I could speak to her, and I'm so sorry. And I just, I daven for my daughter that she should come back home, and I totally and completely forgive her. And so I read that story beyond the fact that it's just unbelievably moving. And if a person looks at this skeptically and they say, oh, this, the chances, okay, fine. However you want to understand the story, whether true or not, I believe it to be true.
It's a beautiful story.
It's a beautiful story to be able to look at, and the mashal is just unbelievable. That we go through life just so overwhelmed, so busy, trying to connect in different ways, and sometimes we feel very disconnected. And then at other times we say, okay, so I'm going to try to connect, but I'm going to try to connect. What connection am I going to find? And the answer is Hashem is always on the other end, reaching out to us beforehand. Hashem is always on the other end, having written us a letter beforehand. Hashem is always on the other end, trying to spark that conversation. And so it's not starting a conversation anew. It's not trying to start from scratch, because Hashem was already meeting us halfway, that we just have to reach out and Hashem is there. And that's what they say about the Megillah. The Megillah is a love letter. It's Hashem's letter to us, to each and every single person, that we shouldn't read it as what was, But it's a way for each and every single one of us to be able to realize that Hashem is calling out to us in our day. Hashem is calling out to us on that busiest day of our life. With all the bilbo, with all the rash, with all the noise, with all the distractions in life, and being so overwhelmed, Hashem is saying, I'm here, and I'm waiting for you to talk to me. And so Purim becomes that time, the pinnacle of the year, that moment of life where we can be able to look at the day and say, okay, so I'm trying to hear that kol demamah.com. I'm trying to hear that letter. I'm trying to hear that voice that Hashem's reaching out to me. And I want to reach out also. And so that can be found in so many different ways in a person's life. Each and every single person very different, whether it means, as we talked about, a small tefillah, starting off the day on Purim with the brachos I say normally, but these brachos today, they're going to really be a moment where I just pause and I recognize that when I say, thank you for, you know, giving me shoes, thank you for clothing me, I really mean it, because without you, I would have nothing. And then I go throughout the day and it's crazy, this and that, but hopefully on the other end, I can come out having connected in a real way, in a different way, and then that spills over into life to be able to realize that each and every single day there's that chance to be able to connect, knowing that Hashem's already trying to connect to me. So thank you all for coming. Of course, if we have any questions, I know it doesn't lend itself as much as a halakha shir, but very happy to discuss. Anyway, thank you.